Philipsia, can you also include verse 11, please? So it's the end of the Beatitudes, if you're able to. We're going to be reading from Matthew 5, verses 1 through to 11. Thank you very much.
Morning. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Thank you, Philipsia. Well, let's continue on in two parts again. Our thoughts on the Beatitudes. This last Beatitude now. Blessed are those who are persecuted. You see, following Jesus, friends, if we follow Jesus and we're seeking his rule and his reign in our lives, it will have results. First of all, from an honesty about our poverty of spirit, which was the first beatitude that we looked at, growing in a growing procession, if you like, a procession forward. It takes place right through to last time I spoke about being a peacemaker. So from having the poverty of spirit to being a peacemaker, it's a progression, a progress that God takes us on bit by bit. And it's not that we just have one, that we're to develop them all as the Holy Spirit makes us more like Jesus and we surrender to Jesus' rule and reign. What's actually happening is that we are taking on, bit by bit, Jesus's beautiful attitudes, beatitudes, his beautiful attitudes, or in other words, his kingdom's attitudes. If he's the king, it's his kingdom's attitudes. And beautiful attitudes produce, and must produce, beautiful actions. As the Holy Spirit, this is a sort of a bit of a recap, is sorting us out, straightening us out, or turning us the right way around is a better way to put it. Because all this teaching on the kingdom of God, we live in the kingdom of, dually in the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of this present age, present evil age in God's kingdom. And they are, as it were, there's a battle that goes on, and we need being straightened out and turned the right way around. So when we come to Christ, we start to turn the other way. We repent, we turn the other way. We've been turned around. We've been turned the right way around. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you there? Marvellous. Thank you, Wayne. I take, if you do, I expect everybody else will as well. That's good. So today, so in other words, it turns around until we become more like Jesus. But today seems a little bit out of place, this beatitude, doesn't it? Blessed are those who are persecuted. It doesn't sort of fit with that inner part almost that we've been developing from poverty of spirit through to being a peacemaker. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Now, many believers, again, I'm indebted to Colin Dye for this. Many believers believe that the Christian faith is intrinsically attractive. People will be and are attracted to the Christian faith. But in fact, they believe somehow that if only their friends or their family could experience real worship, a real miracle, or if only their friends or their family could meet a truly Christ-like person with Christ-like attitudes, then they shouldn't be converted and follow Jesus. That's quite a common belief, isn't it, really? We think that that's what it's like. But the reality isn't like that. Because, sadly, the truth of it is that Jesus' attitudes and Jesus' teaching and Jesus' ways, they are offensive and, in fact, repugnant to non-believers. It's a strong word for you. They are offensive and repugnant. Again, that's a phrase that Colin Dye uses. You see, to come back to Christmas, people love the baby Jesus, but hate the man. They love the baby. We love the baby, but we hate the idea of his lordship. We hate the idea of submitting to God's will. I want to do things my way. All that's going on in the world, you don't see one leader suggesting, I wonder what God would do. Never voiced. You know, it's not there. It's not natural. You know, Jesus is teaching to the unregenerate mind, to those who are not yet God's people, that are born in this present evil age. It's disturbing and it's not normal to their natural mind. To follow Jesus, to follow these attitudes, these beatitudes, is not normal. It's not natural. His lifestyle, Jesus's lifestyle and his attitudes make a virtue out of ideas, like blessed are the meek. No, they're not. Blessed are the powerful and the strong. Jesus's attitudes do make a virtue out of ideas that society rejects and despises. Have you thought about that? You only got to turn on the television to see if we were to put into practice what the kingdom values are, if we were to read through the rest of the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus' teaching, it's so alien to the world in which we live. That is why often Jesus' followers are not praised. And their message that they bring of reconciliation with God through Jesus alone isn't naturally acceptable or accepted. This Christmas, people will say, oh, lovely, but baby Jesus in the manger and the angels, if they even allow that in some places. But they really don't want to know about, in their natural mind, that's where a miracle needs to take place. And the eyes of those that we share with need to be opened. And that is part of the wonderful, glorious message of hope, that the blind will be able to see. Be able to see not the natural things, but the supernatural. To be able to see Jesus for who he really is. Not just a baby in a manger, but the one who created everything. The one who came to earth. The one who died on a cross, despised and rejected. So if we are to follow Jesus, I'll leave you with this thought for a moment. We will, like him, face opposition. We, like Jesus, will face rejection and even persecution, because that's the way it is. Help no end. That's softened that blow for us. But that's the reality of it, isn't it? And so let's face it. And Jesus says it's okay. And I'll pick that up in a minute. That people won't always accept us. And if you're somebody that wants to be accepted by everybody, to follow Jesus, we will find out those that don't. When I became a Christian, some of my friends didn't want to know me anymore. because something had happened that they found repulsive. Or one of my friends thought I'd lost my mind, you know, that I'd gone slightly insane. Had I been got by something? Yes, I've been got by God. But it didn't, this friend of mine just couldn't see it. But there we are. So that's a thought for us for a moment. I'm going to stop. Tell me of happy days in our building. Happy days in our building. So let's see. It won't be long, I'm sure. Then we will be able to be back in there. Even our leaky building, which we hope doesn't leak at the moment, and their slightly falling down building. There's something very special about being together physically as well. It's lovely to be on Zoom, but it's lovely to be together. And sometimes we just hold on to those happy memories like that as well, when God really touched us with that song in the past as well. So praise God for that. So we're nearly through the persecution, Phil. You'll be okay. Not quite, because you see, there are certain things we like to leave out, isn't there? You know, I mean, we always like to look about the benefits, but sometimes there are consequences of being Christians as well. And sadly, this comes under that. It just comes with it. See, persecution and opposition are inevitable consequences of being like Jesus. Yes. These godly attitudes, these beatitudes make us more like Jesus, because you don't realise, but we start to somehow display his righteousness. I don't think we know we're doing it. Otherwise, it would be self-righteousness. There's sometimes just something that flows from us. And the people say to me occasionally, you've changed. What's different? As a young person, the pastor said, you're different. What's happened? And I'd had an encounter with the Holy Spirit who convicted me of things that needed to be sorted. And so there are good consequences, the consequences of letting the Holy Spirit produce these beatitudes in us, that we start to appear, I'd suggest, without knowing it, and act more like Jesus. So we're to be persecuted for, not just persecuted, but persecuted for what? For righteousness. And you see, persecuted for righteousness is approved by God. Blessed are those who are persecuted. What does it say? Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Because of righteousness. And remember right at the beginning, I said that word beatitude means to be blessed and approved by God. Blessed and approved by God. So God does bless us and approve of us when we appear to be being persecuted and we're coming all forms of opposition and people not liking what we're saying or doing. So, we're not to be persecuted though for self-righteousness or religious intolerance. In fact, the Pharisees were the ones who persecuted Jesus because they were spiritually intolerant of anything other than themselves. We're to be persecuted, that's okay, for righteousness. So if we're persecuted for causing trouble or acting in a foolish way in our lives, or our lifestyle doesn't match up to our witness, I can think of a friend of mine who was really very, very drunk in an Indian restaurant. In fact, it may have been a Christmas Eve once. I might even let him tell you the story one time. And he was trying to witness to this guy who was a waiter in the Indian restaurant about Jesus. Now, do you think if you were the waiter in the Indian restaurant that you would obtain any notice this guy? You know, I don't think we were asked to leave, then, were we? But it was an embarrassment. So, but if we're persecuted for a wrong lifestyle, witness, or some think it's okay, some Christians think it's all right to be offensive and rude. Some of the things that I see coming out of the mouths of Christians, if I'm honest, particularly often across the pond, are offensive and rude. And it's not the way that Jesus would speak. Now, if people take offence or refuse associate with us because we can be offensive, awkward or rude or objectionable, then there's no blessing for that. Unfortunately, I've met Christians, oh, yes, I believe in this, and I won't have anything to do with you. We can be really obnoxious and quite horrible at times. That's not the mind of Christ. That is not the stuff that's actually blessed. Because actually, all these beatitudes, let's remember, come from a gentle spirit and a contrite heart. Not from any sense of self-righteousness. Does that make sense to you? So, if we get into trouble for the wrong reasons, God loves us, but it's not the blessing that we will get if we are persecuted for righteousness. But living how Jesus wants us to, living for his kingdom and his righteousness will bring opposition. I think that's quite clear. But there's a promise that goes with that opposition as well. If we find ourselves in that circumstance, now we haven't been persecuted here anywhere like the same way as people in many other countries have. Maybe some that are listening to me now. People that are in fear of their lives because of opposition. You know, I think of Christian friends in places like Pakistan, but it's very, very difficult. In other places where there was real, real opposition. A friend of mine was thrown out of a Middle Eastern country because he dared to share the good news of Jesus with someone. And he's lucky to have got out with his life. And that's I believe, was persecution for the right sake, not the wrong. But you see, there was a reward for all this, and let's hold on to that. You see, the martyrs get a special place in the kingdom of heaven, but I'll come on to that in a minute, because what is important to us is that actually for theirs, the promise is theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Notice it's the same promise as the first beatitude. For those that are poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and for those that are persecuted, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The beginning and the end of it is that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven through faith in Jesus. We're blessed to be in God's kingdom. What happens at conversion is we're transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, from this present evil age to God's coming kingdom of glory and the rule of Christ. Amen. So that is why if heirs is the kingdom of heaven, then it comes sometimes because of persecution, not that we want to go and look for it, but if it finds us, we need the grace of God to be able to stand up and cope with it. But that is why I believe Jesus tells you and I, friends, to pick up our cross every day. Pick up the cross is not a symbol. It's a symbol of persecution for Jesus as well, of opposition. But we're to pick up that up. To pray for those who persecute us, to love those who oppress us, to those that don't treat us fairly, to love and not to hate, to pray for, to respect and to honour people. So if we do that, even though society might distort our message, hate us for the message of Jesus, there might be disappointments and there might even be suffering and for some, yes, even death. Then there is a great, great blessing that comes from it. And what comes from it, always out of persecution, comes blessing. It's important. And I want to leave the last thoughts on this beatitude, if you like, to Colin Dye. He said, despite all those things, there's nothing more important in the world than people who are submitting to the rule of Jesus and becoming more like him. There's nothing more important than we submit to these beautiful attitudes as God directs us. There's nothing more important than becoming like Jesus. Disciples who are authentic and filled with Jesus, what do they do? We display light We display light. We display, we reflect something of Jesus in the dark world. Divine light flows out from disciples who are authentically living the Jesus lifestyle. Flows out into a dark world. And the light opens people's eyes. The light of Jesus opens people's eyes and their hearts. God uses you and I in our imperfections still. But as we submit more and more to his heart, his mind, his attitude, his will, he will use us to help awaken the world that needs him. To those who will receive him, he gives the right to become children of God. And that's what we are. And that's what we want others to be. Because that's what Jesus wants them to be. So the thing is, that person that you don't like, the person that's difficult, the person that we're finding really obnoxious and difficult, they may find you the same. Jesus loves them. And Jesus wants them in his kingdom. That's really important to hold on to. You know, we can so easily take a judgmental thing about this, that and the other. But every human being on earth is loved by God. And he wishes that none should perish, but all come to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that, as we submit to God, as we walk with Jesus, that's the joy, that's what we see. There may be times when we're rejected and when we find opposition, but we are loved always during those times. We're accepted during those times, and we are God's children. I don't know, I'm really thankful for that. And so let's pray this Christmas that more people have their eyes opened, just through a few carols sung outside the shop, something that happens on YouTube or on the television, that people's eyes might be opened by God's people simply declaring that Jesus is Lord and trying with all their weaknesses and difficulties to live the Jesus lifestyle. Let me just finish with this verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kind of evil things against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, I had a little process. They persecuted me, and therefore they will persecute you. But we are blessed and approved and loved by God. And does it deter us? No, because the world needs us. Needs us to be authentic. Needs us to be real. Needs us to actually say, I want more of you, Lord. So this is the time not for us to pull away and say, I can't do that. Say, yes, Lord, more of you. Because it's all about him. I could go on and on, but I don't intend to now. I think that's probably enough, don't you? So let's stop for a moment and reflect. And if there are people that are causing you difficulty or insult you or whatever, just take a moment and ask God to bless them and to give you the right attitude for those around you. And for those that whose lifestyles offend you and annoy you, ask that you don't become like a Pharisee, but you remain like Jesus, meek and humble and mild of spirit. Let's pray. Just take a moment to say, Lord, I do want more of you, more of your beautiful attitude in my life. I do, Lord. I will come to know you and discover that you are still the only way, the only truth, and the only life. But we do pray for those who face threats of death and imprisonment for your sake now. We also pray, Lord, for those within Merston and across our nation as well that have lost their jobs. It was, and this Christmas doesn't appear to have much hope for them. Those that are finding it difficult to pay their way, haven't got enough food, don't know what presents they'll be able to give their children or anything like that. Lord, we pray, will you have mercy? Just take a moment and think about those that are in need in our area. And maybe also pray for the food bank and others that help in these areas. So if one or two would like to appoint, but there's no need for these things. We do pray for those that appear to be without hope. Will you comfort those that need comfort and give hope to those that need hope? Lord, we pray in the middle of all this, all the difficulties that are facing us as a nation and as a world, men and women this Christmas will discover the joy and the reality of who you are, the Prince of Peace, God with us. We pray your kingdom come and your will be done. A friend this last week, and she was selling Big Issue. And she was telling me that she was very cold, she hadn't sold very many, and people weren't very generous. There was no Christmas spirit outside the supermarket. You know, she didn't exist as a human being, but God spotted her. And I spotted her, and I bought a Big Issue, which often it's always good probably to make sure we've got some real money in our pockets and in our wallets and in our purses these days, that we can assist in those ways. Because often you can't offer a card to somebody who's homeless. And this lady said to me, she said, I may go home tonight and I haven't got money to pay my rent. Now, I didn't know if I was being tapped up for a rent, which I could have been. She said, I need £60 to pay him. I said, well, you can't be evicted. And I didn't have £60 and I don't think I would have given it to her. But I did try and encourage her to say that you can't be evicted at the moment like that. But would you pray for this woman? I don't know her name. She's a young woman, probably in her early 20s, who probably has some drug issues. That's why I didn't give her any money. But would you pray for her? She's the Big Issue seller in Rustington. Maybe there are others you've been past recently. Let's be generous this Christmas to those as well. So would you indulge me and pray for this lady now? Perhaps somebody would like to pray for her. Phil, would you pray for her? The Big Issue seller in Rustington.
Gee, all these people who are homeless at this time of year, well, we can't imagine really how that can be, how difficult that can be, how sad. Thank you for the Big Issue and for the opportunity that gives. And we pray for those, and particularly for this lady who's selling the Big Issue. Lord, I pray that people would buy it from her. Lord, I pray that she will be sold out.
Yeah.
Lord, that she'll have enough money to provide for her food and for her rent. And she'll feel confident that she can keep going. Lord, I pray that you would send people by her that are going to encourage her. They're going to give her a sense of hope and a belief in humanity and in generosity. Lord, I pray that would be her experience. I pray that, Lord, for so many others who are selling the Big Issue. But then there are many others who don't even have that sort of income, have nothing. And I pray for them, Lord, and those that we come across. Lord, I pray that you would direct our thoughts and Lord, help us to give where it's right to give. So we lift them to you in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.